Hello again. You're with the News at One. The incoming US President Donald Trump has appointed the billionaire businessman Elon Musk as the joint leader of a new Department of Government Efficiency. He has also picked a Fox News host and Army veteran called Pete Hegseth to be Defense Secretary. Later today, Mr. Trump will meet the outgoing President Joe Biden at the White House. Niall Stanage, White House columnist with The Hill, joins us. Niall, a flurry of appointments over the past couple of days. What has Donald Trump been saying about the role of Elon Musk?
Well, he talks about Elon Musk as someone who's capable of bringing entrepreneurship to the management of government, bringing a whole new style to that. Now, obviously, that's a claim that a lot of people will be skeptical of. Elon Musk, initially perhaps best known for Tesla, but more recently X, formerly known as Twitter. The other thing about Mr. Musk is that he has previously claimed he could cut $2 trillion from the federal budget. If he did that, it would be roughly one third of all government spending. So it seems a fanciful idea, and one that if it were enacted would obviously cause massive cuts to services.
I remember being in Washington when he was elected, when Donald Trump was elected in 2016, and talking to a public servant who started to cry because she worried she would lose her job, which is not what you normally expect when you're vox popping people. I mean, how brutal might the dismantling of government structures be?
Well, it could be pretty brutal for two reasons. One is the thing that we've just spoken about, the idea of expenditures that conservatives believe to be excessive. But the other thing, of course, is what Mr. Trump, in my opinion, hyperbolically refers to as the deep state. And we've already had plans from Project 2025 from a right-wing foundation here, which was basically about removing protections from career civil servants, making it easier to fire them and put in political appointees in their place. Now, President-elect Trump disowns Project 2025, or at least did during the election campaign, but a lot of his allies were very much associated with formulating that plan.
Talk to us about Pete Hegseth. He's the man who Donald Trump wants to be his defence secretary. Now, he served in Iraq and Afghanistan, but he left the military saying he'd been sidelined for his political and religious views.
Yeah, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, he is still a member of the Army National Guard, which is a slightly different branch of the military. But in any event, Pete Hegseth is best known for his Fox News punditry. And obviously putting him in charge of the Pentagon, assuming he is confirmed by the Senate, would be a huge decision. I mean, we're talking about a workforce of well over a million people, budgets measured in the hundreds of billions. The other thing about Pete Hegseth that is worth mentioning, Rachel, is that he made something of a cause célèbre of three members of the US military who had been accused of war crimes, essentially, of violating the laws of war. And ultimately, during the first Trump presidency, he got two people pardoned and one person who'd been acquitted but remained under some suspicion promoted. So from a general perspective of giving carte blanche to the US military, that's very much Pete Hegseth's mindset.
Who else is in the frame for a significant role?
Well, I mean, we've got a lot of significant roles already. I mean, it is Marco Rubio, for example, as nominal Secretary of State, Mike Huckabee as ambassador to Israel. There's a lot of uncertainty around who President-elect Trump would appoint as Secretary of the Treasury. There isn't really, I would say, a front runner for that right now. So that's one of the big posts that remains open without any notable favourite.
Mm-hmm. And he's meeting, Donald Trump is due to meet Joe Biden later on today.
That is correct. This is a formality of a kind, or thing that generally happens when there is a transfer of power. It notably did not happen in 2020 because, of course, then outgoing President Trump did not accept the results of that election and was therefore ill-disposed to inviting President-elect Biden, as he was, to the White House. But it happens almost all other times. Obama invited Trump to the White House in 2016. Biden is following through on that practice today.
Meanwhile, a week on, Republicans are closing in on a majority in the House of Representatives.
Yes, I think it is almost certain that they will get a majority in the House. That will give them control of all three branches of government, the White House, obviously, the Senate, where they have a new majority, and the House of Representatives. It looks likely, Rachel, that their House of Representatives majority will be very, very slim, but nonetheless, a majority is a majority. Among other things, it deprives Democrats of the capacity that they would have to launch investigations into the incoming Trump administration. You have that power if you have a majority in the House of Representatives. It looks 99% certain that Democrats will be in the minority.
Niall, as always, thank you for talking to us. That was Niall Stanage there of The Hill in Washington.